Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Tuesday when you start the show off with our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline. Oh boy. Wow. Look at that. It's a little early for the live studio audience, but when it comes to Zach Stevens, they get pumped up. Zach, my man, how are you?
Brady, I gotta say, man, starting the day off great with you. And hey, congratulations on those awards you brought home last week.
Hey, buddy, I appreciate it, man. And honestly, it's the great insiders like you that allow us to kind of be this nice hub for so many sports fans throughout Northern Colorado, throughout the state. And we're lucky enough to get great insiders like yourself, man. So we couldn't do it without you, my friend.
No, well, I'm just so pumped to be joining you on a weekly basis.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We appreciate your time. I know you're a busy guy, too. You've got some Broncos media stuff coming up later today, so we were able to I completely spaced it. I'm like, Zach, let's do 140 on a Monday, but the Rockies were playing. Hey, we'll step aside. The Rockies get the win, and I think Russell Wilson's rubbing off on the Rocks. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. That good juju there on Monday or on Friday, although it didn't work on Friday. But, hey, I would love it if the Rockies stole some spotlight from the Broncos, because that would mean the Rockies are relevant.
No question. I mean, so far, they've never lost a series this season so far. So we're excited about it. Zach, let's get into this, man. Is the ownership situation starting to come into full focus here? Is it going to be Mr. Walmart? Is it going to be Rob Walton? What are we thinking?
Boy, it really feels like that, Brady. So this past Friday, initial bids were due to get into the conversation. And Rob Walton, of course, like you said, part of the Walmart family, was in that conversation. He had a bid over $4 billion. And that's the starting point for where the Broncos are going to be sold. That is at least $4 billion. And when we talk about Rob Walton, if he wants the team, it's going to be his. And the reason for that is he's not just a billionaire. He is one of the richest people in the world. In fact, Bloomberg estimated his value, his net worth was in the $60 million range this year. That would put him as the 18th highest or richest person in the world. And when we compare that to other people bidding on the Broncos, it is not even close. You have Robert F. Smith, who is potentially in the bidding for the Broncos, and he's one of the wealthiest guys along with Rob Walton. I think his net value is right around $5 to $7 billion. And we're talking about $60 to $70 billion with Rob Walton. So if he wants it, the team is his, and the initial indication is he did put that bid in, so he wants it. And again, he can just outbid anyone. And if one thing that the NFL has liked in the past, specifically recently, is they've liked to sell the team to one person. Well, Rob Walton doesn't need to put a group together. He can pay that off and still have billions, tens of billions, in fact, left over.
Zach, what do you know about Rob? I mean, again, for everything that you're saying and the more we're hearing about it, it just seems like he's jumping up there as the front runner. What do you know about Rob? What kind of guy? Can you tell us anything so far about him? Because I think that's the big thing fans want to know. Is he going to be a really hands-on guy, hands-off guy? What can you tell us?
And that's kind of the biggest question, and something we truly won't know until he takes over the team, if he does buy it. It's just how hands-on, hands-off he'll be. Will he be jumping over George Payton and making draft picks, or will he sit back and let George Payton do his thing? One of the things we do know He's very successful in everything he's done. He even has a little Pat Bowlen to him in terms of an outdoorsman. Just like Pat, he ran the Hawaii, or I should say he performed in the Hawaii Ironman as well. So a big outdoorsman. And Brady, it just comes back to the money. The money is just insane. So obviously I talked about how much wealthier he is than every other person bidding on the Broncos, but he would instantly come in and be the richest owner in the NFL, not even close. His $60 to $70 billion would trump everyone else by far. The wealthiest owner right now, David Tepper, he's worth just under $17 billion. So we're talking about a guy who's worth four times more than the richest owner in the NFL. In fact, he would be the third wealthiest owner in all of sports across the world. So when it comes to that, that's what we're talking about with Rob Walton, is a guy that would have endless amounts of money, and it would go beyond just the football field. It would go with building a new stadium. It would go with building, you know, not just a new stadium, but it would go with building a whole complex potentially out by DIA. And so the money would be endless with him, and that is something that is really important in sports if you want to have that upper hand.
Well, and I think what's exciting, too, when you talk about the money, maybe the fans that are like, Denver especially, right, paying for a new stadium, is that the first move that you want to make coming in here? But when you get a guy that's as rich as Walton, I think fans kind of maybe look at it and go, wow, that guy might be able to just write a check and go for it. I mean, that's kind of the crazy part about it. And I think that puts some fans' minds at ease, believe it or not.
Yeah, and it really should. And there's so many different things that, of an owner. But at the end of the day, you hope he's a good guy. He or she is a good guy. You hope that they really give back to the community, not just in terms of community things that they do and giving money and building resources for the community, but also giving back to the community by investing in the team and making sure that winning is the number one most important thing. And this is just speculation on my end, but at 77 years old, wanting to buy an NFL franchise, I can't imagine that would be for a financial investment where he would want to see this grow to $8 billion before he passes away. I'm sure at this point he would want it to be competitive, to own an NFL team and do well, and he would have the financial resources to do that. So I wouldn't think he would be nickel and diming with $70 billion this organization.
So, all right, Zach, what will we know? I mean, when will we know? We've been talking about this for a long time now, and I think most of Broncos country is just kind of ready to get this rocking and rolling.
Yeah, so like I said, the first round of bids to kind of get your foot in the door, those were due this past Friday. So now the Broncos kind of have their initial list together. And 2 weeks ago, Joe Ellis said it's between 5 and 20 potential bidders. So we know there's a good amount of bidders there. And over these next 6 weeks or so, they're going to whittle down that list. And in around roughly 6 weeks is going to be the final bid process. So we could really know the next owner's name by the end of May. And then what will happen from then until the time that they officially take over is that transition period. Is the other owners in the NFL approving whoever the Broncos name to be the next person? The NFL approving it, making sure, going through the vetting process. And then that's the goal of having that person in place and actually being the owner and taking control by the start of the season. But we don't have to wait till the start of the season to know who it's going to be. We could really know within the next 6 weeks.
Wow. How about that? I know that I'm just ready to be done with it, Zach. I mean, it's been fun to follow. And of course, you've been digging in and I've enjoyed reading up on that aspect. But I think a lot of fans are just ready to go with it. On the notes on the stadium, I did want to ask you if you've heard any updates with the fire situation a couple of weeks ago with the chairs and everything. Where are we at there? Are we looking okay? Like everything could be ready by the time the season starts?
Yeah, not good, unfortunately, Brady. And yes, it's that fire not just damaged hundreds of seats, but it damaged the structure. And with the way the world is right now with supply chain issues, that's backing the process up. But on top of it, just how big of a job it is. I mean, there's foundational pieces of steel that have to be replaced. Some of the concrete has to be replaced. And of course, it impacted 14 suites as well. So this is something that the Broncos are not saying will necessarily be done by the beginning of the season, which is just, it's crazy since it happened in what the BC and last week of March that it wouldn't be done, but that's a very realistic possibility.
So what would they do? I mean, would you just kind of, if you would not sell that section, or I mean, what would that look like if it's not all ready to go? How many chairs are we talking?
Yeah, we're talking about hundreds. And the big thing, especially for the owner of the team, whoever it is, the suites are the big money maker, because suites, you get to keep 100% of those profits as a team, whereas the rest of the seats, you have to share that profit with the other 32 teams in the NFL. But you get to keep 100% profit. And if 14 suites are damaged, I don't expect 14 suites to not be open by the time regular season starts. But if a couple of those still aren't fixed and you can't sell those, that's eventually just going to hurt the owner's pocketbook. But in terms of a home field advantage, it's really not going to hurt the Broncos as much. So we're talking about this hurting the next owner more than really the fans, since it's only going to be a couple of hundred seats.
Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos joining us. All right, Zach, let's get into some X's and O's. The Kareem Jackson move, you know, those were the two big names, Kareem Jackson and Melvin Gordon. I know a lot of Broncos fans are pumped to see Denver lock him up, because that rules out a few questions, because I thought the safety position, they were so strong there last year. Getting that safety position solidified and locked in, I think, is a big thing for this defense next season.
It really is. Now you don't have a hole at safety at all. I still love the development of Caden Stearns and what he can do, but now he gets another year. And also, the Broncos are expected to play more dime this year, which means six defensive backs. And the way you look at it, obviously you're going to have Ronald Darby, Pat Surtain as your outside corners. You're going to have Kwon Williams as your inside corner. And then you're obviously going to have Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons as your safeties. But I don't think you then go to a fourth corner to be that dime player. I think you go to Caden Stearns because of how efficient he was last year. And so he gets to continue to develop while you also get your really, really, really dominant safety duo back for another year. And, man, I feel a little bad for Kareem Jackson, because I just feel like this is such a great value play from the Broncos. I mean, $2 million base, the potential to earn up to $5 million. Look, I'm not feeling bad for him right now, because that's still a lot of money in real terms. But the Broncos just keep getting deals on Kareem Jackson, and I think it sets up great for this defense again.
You know, in this world, too, in this market, in the NFL, you do tend to see players that are, if they feel slighted, you know, maybe they aren't getting paid what they're worth, they might take the deal somewhere else, because, you know, it's just harder to take with the team you've been with for a while. But Kareem keeps coming back, and you know what? The Broncos aren't complaining.
No, they certainly aren't. And I think, you know, Kareem's been here for 3 years now, and now he's saying, well, shoot, I don't want to take a discount, but look, I've been on this team when they've been bad. Am I really going to leave when they're good now? I have a home here. I like Denver. I'm settled in. I like where this defense is at, specifically playing next to Justin Simmons. Okay, fine. I don't want to leave just when it's about to be a fun time to be here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be terrible. Walk out the next day and see what Russell Wilson could do. What's the status of Melvin Gordon? I feel like the Ravens-Gordon thing really picked up some steam.
Yeah, it did pick up some steam. And obviously, right before then, Melvin Gordon hired a new agent. So I don't think he's in any pressing rush to sign a deal. He wants his new agency to be very aggressive for him. Feels like his old agency was not being aggressive. And when you talk about aggressive and a bigger money contract, I don't think the Broncos are interested in that. The Broncos, from my understanding, would want Gordon back, but it would have to be at, you know, a good value again, just like they got Kareem. And it does not appear that's what Melvin's searching for. On top of, he doesn't really want to be the second fiddle to Javonte Williams, and that's what he would be if he came here.
So interesting. You know, we just talked about Kareem Jackson, and maybe he's like, oh, I'll keep taking discounts because I've been here when they were bad. I want to be here when they're good. Then you look at Melvin Gordon, it's kind of different. And again, I know he'd be more of a second fiddle. Kareem likely still a starter. But it is interesting because you do get that mindset. Certain players, you know, and I'm not disagreeing necessarily, but some players are saying, hey, I want to get as much money as I possibly can before I retire. Guys like Kareem Jackson are saying, you know what, I want to see if I can get a ring on my finger, get a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting, just the mind of a player? What do you value the most? Do you value guaranteed money? Do you value the deal that's going to last for 5 years? And it's really interesting, especially when you look at guys like Bobby Wagner, the five-year, $80 million deal he got. We're like, oh, my gosh, that's huge. And then you boil it down, and it's really 2 years, about $25 million. And you're like, okay, that's a lot more reasonable there. But he clearly valued the possibility of having a massive deal. Guys like Kareem Jackson, 1 year, $5 million with just $2 million guaranteed. It's very, very different. And Melvin Gordon, there was a report out there that his value was 1 year, $2.5 million. I heard from sources that he's expecting to get way more than that. And it's just interesting where that's going to play out, especially we're sitting here a month into free agency and he hasn't signed anywhere. Typically, that means your value is going to go down.
Talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, last thought for you. Russell Wilson. I was at the Nuggets game last week when he was sitting courtside. He's signing footballs. He's throwing them to fans. He's having a catch with Rocky. And then you see him throw out the first pitch with the Rockies. He was at the Nuggets game again the other night. He's completely buying in. And I know it's one thing to see players and coaches go out and attend stuff, and it's nice to see it, but don't you just get the sense that Russell Wilson is the kind of guy that if I'm going to move here, I am going to absolutely 100% make myself a fixture in the community?
Oh, absolutely, and it is so smart that he is doing that because, look, fans were buying in already, but now the Denver community is fully buying in to Russell Wilson and what he is and what he can do for this community, and I absolutely love it. Look, Nuggets game, like you said, throwing balls, being very public that he was there. Then he's at opening day for the Rockies, and I think he went to another Nuggets game. I mean, he is just buying into the community and doing it 100% right. And also, before he even signed with the Broncos, the day before, he was over at Children's Hospital giving back to the community. He's going to have a big impact.
He's a great guy. I mean, he really is, and I love it. I mean, we root big time for Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. We know what kind of guy he is. And I'm not saying this about anybody else, but when they're just actively a good guy, it's easier to root for, and obviously Russell Wilson's a Hall of Famer, so boy, Zach, I know your beat is the Broncos, and you do it better than anybody, but it's exciting in the state, isn't it? You got the Nuggets and the Warriors going to the playoffs, meeting up on Saturday. The Rockies so far are on pace to win the rest of their games, it looks like. And then, of course, you got the Avalanche, favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And now you've got the Broncos back where they should be, at least for now. It's a great time to be in the state of Colorado as a sports fan.
Oh, it's a fantastic time. And, you know, now we can actually have that conversation. What team is going to win
right.
a championship next? And the Broncos, Broncos, Nuggets, and Avs are all legitimately in that conversation. And, hey, if this 3-1 start continues, then the Rockies will be in that conversation as well.
No question. You know what? You inspired me. I'll credit you for this. We're going to do another poll question about that at some point this week. So you're getting the sign off on that. What do you think of my – and again, it's not like a record-breaking prediction here. I just think with the Broncos' moves and the fact that Tyreek Hill's gone from Kansas City, are the Broncos the favorite to win the AFC West, or am I off my rocker?
I don't think you're off your rocker at all. Now, I think the Chargers also have to be put in that conversation because when you talk about teams, the Chargers may have the best team right now, especially they have just the most chemistry. Broncos are right there. And then, of course, like you said, you can't write off the Chiefs because of Mahomes, but they have taken a step back, and their roster is pretty weak.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. The West is going to be fun. We're going to see some great football either way for the Broncos when they square off against the Chargers, Chiefs, and Raiders. So going to be a blast. Zach, my man, appreciate your time. So what's in store for us today with Broncos media stuff? Anything big we should be expecting?
You know, we're going to talk to some players, and typically they bring out the big dogs first, so I wouldn't be shocked to see us talking to Russell Wilson in just about 20 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, ask great questions as you always do, my man, and we'll look out for your thoughts and coverage on Twitter and DNVR Broncos.
Right on. I appreciate it, Brady. Thank you.
All right, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. He is our Broncos insider. Fantastic guy. Wonderful work by him, as always. Rob Walton. Maybe the guy. Sounds like he's going to be the guy. Going to buy the Broncos. How are we feeling? I don't care. As long as he's not Jerry Jones. As long as he's not going to change what George Payton is doing. Let George Payton work. Leave him in his laboratory and let him work. Jades, before we break, we got a lot of big stories today. Jades has been all over it. Let's go here first. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Boy, this has got to be the last straw for Dan Snyder, right? ESPN reported this morning, Congress says Washington Commanders appear to have broken financial laws, owe money to visiting teams and season ticket holders. What is happening? The U.S. House Oversight Committee, that's when you know, all right, this is getting really big here. This is not just NFL. They sent a letter to the Federal Trade Commission saying it found evidence the NFL's Washington Commanders engaged in unlawful financial conduct. In the letter obtained by the Associated Press, the committee said the team withheld ticket revenue from visiting teams and refundable ticket deposits from season ticket holders. Now, there's a lot more to this, and I want to get to it, but isn't this the worst? There's a lot of stuff going on with Washington, the investigation, the Gruden emails that came out of that investigation, and there's a lot more. But if the owners are supposed to be this, like, perfect chain of money-making, and then you've got a guy in here that's withholding money and withholding ticket deposits and revenue, then isn't that it? Aren't we done here with Dan Snyder and probably any links to him at this point? Boy, that's got to be, you got to think that it's overtime. 25 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. With the recent transfer portal news and David Roddy testing his draft status, are you concerned about next season for CSU Rams hoops? Kendall Moore flip-flopped. He was coming back to CSU, then he entered the portal. We know DeShawn Thomas is now playing for Montana. Jalen Lake is gone. So we're going to talk about this coming up in the next segment. We'll also hit some Jamal Murray news. Nuggets, Golden State game one, all that and more. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Got our On the Rocks Liquor Game Beer of the Week from Berthoud Brewing today. This one's from Low Rider. It's a Low Rider Lime. Pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of their any of your favorite adult beverages. I love Berthoud Brewing. They have another location in Loveland, too, which I know is confusing, Jades, because it's Berthoud and Loveland, but they have one in Berthoud and then one in Loveland. I like On the Rocks Liquor so much for this reason. They're always highlighting breweries throughout the state, too, and throughout the Northern Colorado area specifically. Tell them we sent you from the whole show and check out Low Rider Lime from Berthoud Brewing. Boy, got to spit that out there, Jades. You can also join them on Friday from 4 to 7 for free beer tastings from the Boston Beer Company, the makers of Samuel Adams. Whoa, sign me up for that. Big Samuel Adams guy. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What do you guys think about Jamal Murray? Jamal Murray, listen, I've seen a lot today, including some Denver media outlets that are pretty critical about Jamal not coming back. And again, based on some of the reports coming out, it does sound like Michael Malone had a conversation with Jamal Murray before the Lakers game, basically saying, hey, do you want to play a little bit in a meaningless game? You certainly can. There's no pressure to. And it was more than basically what came about was Jamal didn't want to play at that point. So if Malone is saying that we asked him if he wanted to play, that means he's cleared. Jamal Murray is cleared by the doctors, the team doctors on this team. From my knowledge, I'm pretty sure about that, right? I don't think a coach would ask a guy if he wants to play in a meaningless game if he wasn't cleared. So let's just assume. And again, if you're on Twitter and you follow a lot of the Denver Nuggets reporters, again, we would also believe that that's the case. Now, there are some in that old school mindset.
Well, back in my day, Michael Jordan played and he was on three broken legs.
Wait, he only has two. Okay. Mentally, getting past that kind of injury, that ACL injury, I've heard is a very difficult thing. And you don't want to rush people back. How are we feeling on this? I haven't talked about this much. It's very difficult when you talk about player injuries and you talk about their choices to, you know, whether they want to feel like they're able to play or not. Now, why am I blanking out? Who's the right tackle that played for the Broncos like 3 years ago? Help me out, Hooligans or Jades. The guy they paid a ton of money to, and was it Martin something? And they paid a ton of money to him, and he wouldn't come back. And Vic Fangio had made reference that, you know, he's cleared to play. Now it's more of a mental hurdle and all that stuff. And there was frustration from Fangio. There was frustration with the fans. It is interesting that, you know, Jamal, I think, is getting, and I'm giving it to him too. Let me know if you find that there. I'm blanking out completely on who that right tackle is. Hooligans, I will give you this used piece of tape if you can figure that out.
Is it Juwan James?
There you go. You get the tape. This is for you, my friend. Oh, you beat Noob. You beat, I tell you what, Noob, it was close enough. You get in there. You each get a piece of tape for the day. Is it unfair for us to give Jamal Murray a pass and not Juwan James? Now, I never like to call out players for not playing when they're ready, even when they're medically cleared. But I have been wondering. I'm like, okay, he's clear, right? He is good to go. So what's holding him back? Is he going to give it a go in game one on Saturday? Is it weird to make that comparison? Now, Jamal Murray's making a lot, I think making more, right? But they paid Juwan James a lot of money to not play for him. And now you've got a situation where Jamal's being paid a lot of money. He's medically cleared. And he's not going.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky situation because on one, I think it's a lot to do with the psychological aspect of it.
And I think you're right. And that's why if I'm the Nuggets, I'm doing exactly what they're doing. I'm not going to push him. And I'm not going to make any statements out front that lead, you know, like Fangio did. That's kind of like, oh, well, I don't know. So he's medically ready. There is a contingency of fans, though, that like to go to the old school mindset. Well, back in the day, they just rubbed some dirt on it and played. All right, but you also have to think of Jamal Murray as a long-term investment. If he does go out there and play, and he's medically clear, but maybe he's not ready, so he's playing differently. You know, we always had coaches that would say, sometimes it's when you're feeling right, but you're still favoring that injury that you injure the other leg. You do the other thing. You do the opposite. So you got to be very careful here. I haven't gone back and forth on this, but I do feel like we can't be too harsh on the guy. Let's see, Mysterio. I think we should pay professional athletes per game as played. If you're injured or tired and you don't play, you don't get paid. I mean, yeah, it would be, and I'm not going to fight you on that. What did Jamal Murray make this year? A lot, right, Jades? See if you can find that. What was his contract? Was he already in that new portion of his contract? Because they just re-signed him to the big deal. And, you know, you do look at, as a fan, you look at that and go, wow. Paying a guy a lot of money. How much was he due to make this year? Because I think he's getting all of it.
Yeah, it looks to me like it's just south of $30 million.
$30 million. You're right. Yeah, you're right. That rings a bell. So, I mean, I'm not getting into this whole injury debate, like whether he's mentally strong or not strong. I think Jamal Murray is actually very mentally strong, from what I've learned, but about the guy.
By the way, that is more than Jokic.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? Well, and here's where people get weird, is like, you're putting so much on Joker. If Jamal was playing, you wouldn't have to put so much on Joker. That was the whole plan. Noob. Yeah, back in the day, they said rub some dirt on it, and then 20 years later, they're saying time to cut off that leg. Right, because that leg's jacked up and you're walking. Like, this is a long-term deal. I'm going to just, my side on this, Mysterio, I don't think you're wrong. I think there's got to be a way you can work out some kind of deal if you get an injured player. But I would rather Jamal be ready mentally. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of when we played high school sports at the podunk small town USAs, you know, it was a lot of times we were encouraged to play not, you know, if you're in, there's a difference if you're injured or hurt. Clearly, he's recovering from a monster injury. That is a hurdle to get over. I think they're doing the right thing, and I think Jamal's probably doing the right thing, too. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What is going on with Cam Newton? Free agent quarterback Cam Newton under fire for comments about women who don't know when to be quiet. Here's some of what Cam Newton had to say also about, like, not cooking and stuff. I have no idea. It's the first time I've heard it. Here it is. Let's play some of it.
A woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs. Like, I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby. Like, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
What? Now, this stems from his thing about, like, 3 years ago. You remember that? No. Yeah, it was like 3 years ago. It was when we were knee-deep in the protests and everything. And Cam Newton scores a touchdown. He goes in. He does the wrist in the air, the fist in the air thing for equality and all that stuff. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he's doing a press conference where a female reporter asks him about a particular play. And he laughs it off says it's funny to hear a female woman or a woman talk about routes as if they can't ask questions about football, as if we don't all have access to football, whether we played at any level or not. Whew. What are you going to do here? Now, again, it's not he's saying stuff on a podcast. Did you hear that guy interviewing? He's like, okay. Oh, all right. What do you do then? No, baby, but you can't cook. You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to leave. Weird. You got a lot. Now people are starting to really talk about what does a few. Our team's going to pick up Cam Newton after that statement? Probably not, right?
He's going to fall into the Colin Kaepernick void.
For a different reason, but in that void, yes. Because you're not going to touch this. Nobody's going to touch this. You're not touching it. First off, he's not that good anymore. But you're not, in this day and age, you're not touching it. He's done. Did Cam Newton seal his fate? Is he out of the NFL? He's not going to, listen, we're probably going to get some kind of a crappy apology afterward. It's like, no, you were on a podcast. You were thinking clearly. You were well thought out. These are your views. It's crazy, man. That's it. The league at the time about his talking about a reporter talking about routes came out and said the comments are just plain wrong and disrespectful to the exceptional female reporters and all journalists. They do not reflect the thinking of the league. Newton later apologized and said, after careful thought, I understand that my word choice was extremely degrading and disrespectful to women. To be honest, that was not my intentions. Well, it seems like it sure was now. And if you are a person who took offense to that, I sincerely apologize to you. Like, if you're a person that took offense to that, what are you talking about? I took offense to that. Woman running, woman talking about routes? Dude, I know so many women, female reporters that can run circles around my sports knowledge. I know that's not much, but there are so many amazing male and female broadcasters, writers, talkers out there. You know what you meant. And of course, he doubled down on that. I think he's done. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I want to thank Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Services as unique as life. Give him a call, 970-330-6824. That's 330-6824. Give Scott Robin or a member of their wonderful staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. Truly is an amazing gift. Mysterio wants to know if the Broncos should go after DK Metcalf. What's it going to take? Now, we're hearing rumors like crazy. Seattle's dumping everybody, and Metcalf's just entering his final year of his rookie contract. He's just going to earn just south of $4 million. DK Metcalf. That guy is something. What could you give for him, though? First-round pick? You don't have any. As far as valuable players, if I'm Seattle, I mean, DK Metcalf's the tough one to trade for Seattle, because if they're rebuilding, then you'd want to make Metcalf the center of that rebuild. I did see a tweet where Metcalf came to Drew Lock's defense a couple of weeks ago. Said, man, why are you all hating on Drew Lock so much? He said the hate's unreal. So it was kind of like, wow, is DK Metcalf making peace with the fact that he might be playing with Drew Lock for a year?
Well, and the Broncos, I mean, why not give your wide receiver core this year a run at it? Wait for DK to finish his rookie contract and then sign him
as a free agent?
Or see what he's signed as and then trade for him from there.
Well, if I'm Seattle and I'm trying to rebuild, I'm talking to DK Metcalf now and saying, do you want to be a part of that? And we would center it around you. And they may not want that. I don't know. And if the answer is no, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild, I'll finish this year out and see what happens, then I'm trading him. You know, it's the Carmelo Anthony thing all over again. I know you're not going to be here next year and I could wait it out, but I need to get something for you now. So if I were Seattle, if he's not going to be a part of the rebuild in the future big-term plans, then I'm trading Metcalf today.
Yeah, and that's a good standpoint from the Seahawks side, but I think you can get the best value from the Broncos could get the best value if they just wait to see what his re-sign value is or try and sign him for a discount as a free agent.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're Metcalf, you want a lot of money. And again, it just depends on what we're just talking to Zach Stevens about this. Where's your head? Are you Melvin Gordon or are you Kareem Jackson? Do you want to, you can make great money, but can you make better money at a lesser team? Or do you want to make good money and go play with Russell Wilson? I don't see it happening. Isai Chris says, give Seattle Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy and what else? It's got to be something else. Jerry Jeudy and what are they? The Broncos have the Rams second round pick and it's late. Is Jerry Jeudy and the Rams second, what is it, 30, no, 61 or whatever? So, Jerry Jeudy and pick 61? It's got to be more than that, right? Yeah, Smitty he's chiming in now. Have you touched on the report out of the Washington football? Nope, the Washington Commanders. Yeah, we did. Boy, it's going to happen there. Snyder's done, right? You got to be moving on. I mean, this has now reached the U.S. House Oversight Committee. I mean, you got evidence now of NFL's commanders engaged in unlawful financial conduct. They withheld ticket revenue from visiting teams and refundable ticket deposits from season ticket holders. That's what we're finding. And we knew stuff was going to come out of these emails way more than what we heard from Gruden's emails. This stuff is detrimental. The committee is sharing documents with the FTC while requesting the commission take any action necessary to make sure the money is returned to its rightful owners. There's emails, documents, and statements made by former employees indicating that team executive and owner Dan Snyder engaged in a troubling, quote, troubling, long-running, and potentially unlawful pattern of financial conduct. This is finally in the end for Dan Snyder, right? There's no way he can survive this. A bag of Doritos. Mysterio. Talking about a trade for DK Metcalf. Jades, look at this. See this? This is called my script for the show. Topics we're going to go over. I say, what do you think? 5% of the time I actually get to everything that I write down on my list. And you know why that is? Partly because my brain gets sidetracked easily. But the hooligans always derail me. What do you think? We get to 5% of this list every day?
Yeah, if that. But, you know, it's honestly sabotage at this point.
That's true. I gotta talk about Denver and Golden State. Because guess what, Jades? Guess what? Denver's winning that first round. 51 minutes after the hour, we're taking a short break, and I'll tell you why. There's history here, and it's time for the Nuggets to avenge that 2013 loss. We'll take a quick break. Over under Den comments today. How many we have? We sit at 2 normally, right, on the show? We're at 1 right now. So there we go. 12:51 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Five minutes until the 1 o'clock hour. Second hour, we're going to talk, and we'll get into Nuggets Golden State. I want to talk to Mike Brohard from CSURams.com. CSU signed a deal, a very interesting deal, about with like an NIL deal, and I'll get more specifics on that, where they can sell, they're going to be selling jerseys with players' names on the back of them, and the players will actually get a piece of that pie. So I love that. Sign me up for a Trey McBride, David Roddy jersey. I'm in for that. But can we still get, are they going to make old school ones? I'm down, but McBride's done now, so it won't make sense. But if Roddy's back next year, you better believe it. Let's do it. I'm down for that. So we'll get into more of that. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. This is a tight one. With the recent transfer portal news and David Roddy testing his draft status, are you concerned about next season for CSU Rams hoops? 51% of the Hooligans say yes. This thing has gone back and forth today. The big ones, obviously, Deshaun Thomas. Transferring to Montana, right? So he's going to be in the Big Sky Conference. So UNC will see him a couple times. And then, you have Kendall Moore, who flip-flopped. He was coming back, and then he just entered the transfer portal again, and he's going. And I said, I'm sorry, Jalen Scott. I said Jalen Lake. No, don't worry. David Roddy says Jalen Lake's the future of the Rams. So that would be a big loss. Are you worried? And the Rams, there's like 1,300 players still in the transfer portal, so the Rams still have work to do. As far as that goes, look what they did last year. They brought Chandler Jacobs in. That worked out pretty well. So am I worried? Until Nico Medved gives me a reason to worry, I'm not worried at all. If David Roddy's not back next year, I'll panic a little bit. 12:57 the time. Second hour coming up next. Rockies get the win over Texas yesterday. What a weird game. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.